It's time for a weekly look at Congress with USA Today politics editor Paul Singer. Well, establishment Republicans came away with a strong win in yesterday's congressional primaries, beating Tea Party challengers like those who threatened longstanding members of Congress in the last few election cycles.
And after meeting with the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, President Obama spoke to the public today about reports that 40 veterans died while waiting for care at the Phoenix VA hospital. Meanwhile, Congress is considering legislation that would make it easier to fire VA officials.
Paul Singer joins us each Wednesday at this time. Paul, welcome back.
Thanks a lot. Good to be with you, Rob.
Well, the reports seem pretty consistent, calling yesterday's primaries a big victory for the Republican establishment, mainstream Republicans, whatever you want to call them, over activists from the right. Is this just a blip for the Tea Party, or is a tide turning here?
You know, it's hard to tell. They had a couple of races here that early in the cycle looked like they were going to be really barn burners, and they just didn't pan out that way. Most of them actually faded out several weeks ago. I think the real billboard race here was Senator Mitch McConnell, the Senate minority leader. Excuse me, he would like to be the majority leader. Minority leader. He was running against a Tea Party challenger named Matt Bevin, who was well funded. He was a wealthy man, so he was spending his own money. And there was a thought several months ago that that could really be tough for McConnell, because McConnell signed the fiscal cliff deal with Obama. He was seen as, in some Tea Party circles, as selling out to end the government shutdown. But none of it stuck, and then ultimately Bevin was not able to get traction, and last night McConnell crushed him. I mean, it was like 30-point margin or something like that.
And this story, similar stories were told in other races around the country. Are mainstream establishment Republicans learning things from 2010, 2012?
Yeah, I think that's a really smart observation. That's right. It's what's happening. Orrin Hatch, several years ago, had a race coming up like this. And Orrin Hatch had been in the Senate for, about 1,000 years. And it was 2 years to go. He dove into his state from Utah. He went back and he spent significant time in the state. He made friends. He spent a lot of money. He was on the ground all the time. And he got his face in front of people. So they remembered he was there, and they remembered that he mattered. And it really put out a playbook for these guys. A lot of them are now taking the same basic playbook, which is engage, 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 and spend a lot of money early. Don't get caught by surprise. I think you'll see the alternative is in Kansas, where Senator Pat Roberts is fighting claims that he basically doesn't even live in his state. And in a place where he should be easily reelected, he's going to have trouble in his primary because he can't prove that he's been there.
And I've seen some response from national Tea Party organizations saying, our candidates didn't win, but we've been successful because we're making those incumbents run to the right and commit themselves to policies closer to our liking.
Well, that is a very interesting point. It is a double-edged sword. That may very well be correct. What they are saying is, our candidate lost, but our issues won, because in order to win, the candidate had to stand closer where we stand on the issues. Now, of course, the Democrats are saying the exact same thing, which is, in order to win, these Republican, sort of mainstream Republicans, have had to be much more conservative, and therefore that's going to be good for the Democrats, because now they're going to have to run back to the center from where they were during their primaries, and that'll be a challenge for them.
We mentioned, of course, Mitch McConnell. What were a couple of the other big Tea Party versus establishment Republican primaries you were watching?
Well, one of the interesting ones was in Georgia. Georgia is a state where the Democrats have a nominee they like, Michelle Nunn, who's the daughter of former Senator Sam Nunn. And they were sort of, Democrats were excited because some of the candidates in that race were very conservative and in some ways a little offbeat that could have been alienating to a general election electorate. Ultimately, there was one candidate down there we were very interested in named Hendel. She was the choice of Sarah Palin. Mm-hmm. Karen Hendel. Sarah Palin had endorsed her, and that really boosted her campaign all of a sudden, but she came up short in the primary, and now it's going to be a runoff between two guys who are really sort of GOP establishment guys, Congressman Kingston and a businessman named David Perdue. So that was a race we were watching because we wanted to see whether Sarah Palin could push somebody over the hump down there. Also worth watching was in Oregon. This is a race the Democrats should be able to win, but it looks like it could be a bit of a challenge for them. And it featured these candidates, Monica Wiebe, who had been endorsed by Mitt Romney, versus this guy Jason Conger, who had been endorsed by Rick Santorum. So in some ways it was a replay of the 2012 Republican primaries, and the Romney Republican won, and the Santorum Republican lost in that primary.
Now, Georgia and Kentucky are two states where the Democrats are hoping to play offense, maybe take away a seat from Republicans. Most of the story of this election is in the other direction.
Right.
Democrats worried that they are not going up against candidates who are likely to shoot themselves in the foot.
Right. Well, that, to some degree, is the outcome of these races, is the Democrats didn't get the candidates they wanted. There is some suspicion that the Democrats have been behind a bunch of leaks out in Oregon that were designed to make Monica Wiebe look like, a woman who was crazy, basically. She was accused of trespassing and harassment of an old boyfriend some years ago. And the Democrats were sort of circulating this stuff, apparently in an attempt to get a better candidate to run against, somebody who would be seen as a little more outside the mainstream. Maybe now the Democrats are facing the candidates they don't want because they didn't get the candidates who they can paint as real radicals.
Before we move on from elections, what are the next couple primaries you are keeping your eye on?
You know, I knew you were going to ask that question. I'm just at the moment trying to remember this. I know June 3rd there are a couple of primaries that we're interested in. There will be, I think there's an Alabama primary that may be mildly interesting. Iowa, that's the one. I apologize. Right, it's the Iowa one where, again, Democrats had a good candidate, have a good candidate, and are excited about their candidate, but he's stepped in it a couple of times in the past few weeks, and now the Republicans think they have a nice opportunity, and there's a woman named Jody Ernst who's been endorsed again by Sarah Palin, and the question is whether she can take over that race in Iowa. That'll be June 3rd.
We'll be watching those in future shows. Well, moving on to other news this morning, President Obama spoke to the public about these allegations we've been hearing about misconduct, cover-ups at a VA facility, a hospital in Phoenix. So let's listen to a clip of the president.
Any misconduct, whether it's allegations of VA staff covering up long wait times or cooking the books, I will not stand for it. If these allegations prove to be true, it is dishonorable, it is disgraceful, and I will not tolerate it, period. First, anybody found to have manipulated or falsified records at VA facilities has to be held accountable.
That's the president's response. What are we hearing from Congress about this VA ongoing scandal?
Well, this is going to be an issue. I mean, I think this is one of those scandals that people can really understand and can really appreciate. It is fairly simple. It is catastrophically bad management at a large bureaucratic government agency that may have led to the deaths of veterans who are not getting the care they deserved. That is something that Obama is going to have to spend a lot of time explaining. And one of the things you're hearing from Congress today is that he didn't say anything. He didn't announce anything. He didn't. All he said basically is we will spend the next few weeks looking at it, and when we figure out who did something wrong, heads are going to roll. But he didn't launch any new initiative. He didn't fire General Shinseki, who's the veteran secretary. There has been some call for him to be fired. In fact, interestingly enough, one of the endangered Democratic members of Congress, who's in a tough re-election race, today called for Shinseki to be fired. So you're going to get a lot of reaction from Congress being, A, we need to know more, we need to know more, we need to know more, and then B, from the Republicans, obviously you'll see, how come Obama's just discovering this? Where has he been the past 6 years when there has been a lot of reports of backlogs and poor service at VA hospitals?
Well, is any of this outrage being channeled into the form of legislation?
Well, there is a bill kicking around on the House floor, and honestly, I have not yet checked today whether it was supposed to pass today, I think, a bill that would essentially make it easier to punish or fire VA officials who may be responsible for some of this wrongdoing. It's a small step, but it's, I think it's really more than anything else an opportunity for Congress to express its outrage. I think the bigger issue is how do you fix this problem? I mean, and then Obama was making this point during his presentation today that, you know, there are a lot of veterans who are aging now. The baby boomers are aging. They are becoming more dependent on services. We have, you know, a million people coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq. who are in need of care, and the lists of people needing services at the VA are increasing, and punishing and firing people at the VA is a great thing, but that doesn't necessarily solve the problem. How do we get care to this large and growing larger pool of people who need the care?
We had the commander. We had the national commander of the American Legion on this week. In addition to calling for resignations and changes, he said, "Hey, Congress needs to provide more funding for these facilities to lower these waiting lists." In our last little bit here, is anybody talking about that?
Yeah, people will talk about it, but again, the problem with funding in every case is, A, where does the money come from, and B, what good does the money do? I mean, if you're just throwing money at a program that's broken, it doesn't necessarily do any good. It's an easy solution. It's like, oh, we'll give them an extra, a couple billion dollars. But something else will have to be cut to make up for that. And you still have to figure out how they're spending that $1 billion to make sure that it is doing something good. And what it needs to do is to cut wait times and provide services to veterans.
We'll wrap up there. Paul, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Rob. Have a great week.
That was Paul Singer, politics editor at USA Today. We check in on the doings in Congress each Wednesday at this time.